Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and on the phone with our guest is John Arricchio. And tonight we have two great guests for you. We have the amazing R&B, oh my God, she's house, disco, actress, singer, Linda Clifford, and the amazing actress, Michael Lerner. Most of you know her from The Waltons. She played Olivia, the mom on the Waltons, and so I'm looking forward to speaking to both of these lovely ladies. And before we start, let's just say thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Peace for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions, Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, and Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's sake. And I believe we've got Joey Max in Harrison, New Jersey. Hot Dogs is coming on board. We need to talk to them after the show tonight, and then we will discuss that later. But I believe we have Linda on the phone, do we, John?
I believe so. Linda, are you there?
Hi, John. Hi, Joanne. How are
Hi.
You?
How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to talk to you. We finally managed to get this together.
I know. It's been months, right?
I know.
But
okay,
you know what?
Keep plugging away. You got to keep plugging away.
Exactly. But if my friends could see me now, you know? I have to tell you, when I was a kid, I'm also a musician, singer, and when I was a kid, your song was like an anthem for me. It was like, oh, my God, when I heard that song, it was like, God, if I ever make it, if my friends could see me now, you know? And it was just such, that's what it meant to me at the time, and it's such a great song. And how are you? What have you been up to these days? What are you doing during this virus?
This lovely time that we're having in the world right now. I'm trying to keep my mental stability going.
Oh, but before you go on, somebody get this lady a cup of coffee. What is it with the coffee with you? You got a thing with coffee. What's up with that?
I love coffee. What's wrong
with
coffee?
I know. Every post on Facebook, I need my coffee. I need my coffee.
It gets you going. It gets you going.
I forgot about that.
Busy.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
did you,
getting ready to go into the studio to do some recording. I'm working with Martha Wash.
Oh,
and
I love
Norma
her.
Jean Wright.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we're out there as the First Ladies of Disco, so I'm doing that as well as my own thing. So, you know, keeping busy all the time.
Is that a cover thing, or is that originals with Martha and
no,
or is that...
it's all originals. It's the original divas doing the original song.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When do you think that'll be out?
Well, you know, here's the deal. You know, we're trying to collect material. We're getting some things done. We've already recorded a couple of things. The first song, Martha and I did with Evelyn Champagne King. It was called Show Some Love. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, I don't think I've heard it.
Well, I'll tell you something. You should get it because it can be all over the place right now with everything that's going on in this country. We really need it now. And, you know, it's a perfect tune to for people to hear because there's so much horrible stuff happening out there.
Yeah.
And,
you should have sent it to us. We could have played it tonight.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. You know, listen, when you get old, you forget things. What can I say?
Oh, God. No. Please. I know there's only so much we can hold in our heads.
I'll make sure you get a copy.
Oh,
so
thank you. We'll play it for you.
Yeah.
Is that brand new? Is that an original song or something from a while back?
Actually, it's one that we did 3 years ago. And then the follow-up we did is called Don't Stop Me Now. And now we're working on brand new material.
Nice. And the solo project, who's working on that with you musically? Anybody in that we would know in the industry that's working on your solo project?
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with Ralphie Rosario.
Yeah.
Ralphie is a dear, dear friend, and we're discussing possibly doing something together again. We've worked together quite a few times, and we've written things together and recorded and produced, and so we're thinking about going into the studio. This is the perfect time to do it because, you know, we can't get out and perform.
Right.
So why not get into the studio and try to make some new music?
Mm-hmm. Do you write your own music, Linda, or do you take songs from others?
I do write some of it. I wrote Runaway Love.
Oh, and that was a biggie. That was a biggie.
Yeah, that was kind of a biggie. I do write a few things, but I'm always looking for good material no matter where it comes from. So, you know, I'm open.
Well, you got to be always open. You know, you never know what the right thing is going to be when it comes.
Exactly.
You know?
Where it's going to come from. So.
Right. It's funny because, you know, as an artist, you know, you may love something and other people don't, or you don't love something and other people do.
Exactly.
So you never know.
Well, you know, you mentioned If My Friends Could See Me Now. I did not want to record that song.
Are you kidding me?
No, I didn't. In the beginning when they first approached me about doing it, and I thought, oh, no, you can't do that. That's a Broadway musical. You can't take a song from Broadway, you know, that kind of thing. And they said, no, it'd be a great disco tune. And I thought, oh, no, they're going to ruin the song. And then they went in and they cut the track anyway. And when I heard it, I said, oh, my God, I was wrong. That's my song.
Yeah.
I want
it. Oh, it's great.
Yeah,
it's also a gay anthem as well, too. I mean, people
absolutely.
Don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you miss, when's the last Pride you did? Because I know everybody loves you in the community.
it's been a while. Actually, last summer, I did Kansas City Pride. There were a couple in there last year.
Nice.
And unfortunately, all the Pride, we missed out on all of that this year because of the COVID situation, which, people are losing their lives. So I certainly am not going to complain about losing some work. But
so true.
It's just a horrible, horrible thing that we're dealing with. So
I know. You also have done a lot of acting, too. What role did you have in The Boston Strangler? Because I'm trying to remember. I remember the movie, but not verbatim.
Everybody asks me that. They go, oh, you're an actress. You were in this movie and that. And they always ask me about The Boston Strangler. And quite honestly, I was just a corpse. I was dead under a sheet. And so I had no lines. So I guess I was an extra more than I was an actress in that film. But I still had lots of fun because I got to be on set with Tony Curtis quite a bit and quite a few other people. So, you know, when you're like 18 years old or 19 years old and you're on set with all these big, amazing stars, you're all starstruck. And that was me. I thought, oh, this is so great. But it was fabulous. I had a great time.
Right. You know what I've never heard? I've never heard your version of Bridge Over Troubled Water. It's a disco version. I know.
Get
I can't
out.
Believe it. Well, I know if my friends could see me and Runaway Love and Red Light. I never heard your version of Bridge Over Troubled Water. So that's an upbeat disco song.
Yes. Yes.
I'm definitely I'm going to YouTube.
Yeah, we turned it upside down and did the disco thing. In fact, when that song was really happening, and it was much bigger in Europe than it was here in the States, there was a nightclub that I performed at, and they actually built a bridge from one, like 8 feet above the crowd, above the dance floor, from one side of the club to the other. And I got to walk across that bridge and sing the song.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was really awesome. And then the video was, actually, if you go on, if you check YouTube, you can see the video from that was shot on the Brooklyn Bridge. And we did that one morning. We just showed up with cameras and started shooting. And people were like, hey, I got to get to work. New York, okay? It's like, hey, what are you doing?
right. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Good stories in there, but the song was, pretty big hit for me. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, I have to go to YouTube and listen to your version of that. I'm sorry, I had a lot of running around to do today. I didn't get a chance to. Get over there. So, but you worked with Martha before on another collaboration, didn't you? That's it. It's Show Some Love.
Yeah.
Yep, from 2015.
And probably I think about 10 years ago, I actually wrote a couple of songs for one of her albums that she was doing, and she had a hit with the song called You Lift Me Up, and I wrote that for her.
Nice.
So, yeah. So Martha and I have known each other since, oh, my God, I can't even tell you how far back we go, but she was still performing with Sylvester when we met.
Oh, God, you're talking a long time ago. Wow.
We met in Italy. We were doing, they had a festival that they used to do over there once a year. And they would have the top 25 performers from around the world. They would fly them in, and they would have this humongous show. And that's when I met her. I mean, it was like 40 years ago or something.
Wow.
Which is odd because I'm only 45.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, when I turned 50, I started at 10 again, so I'm really only 15.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really only 15 right now. So, but
Gotcha.
Let me ask you: do you like performing more the disco, the ballads, the jazz? What's your favorite? Or, I mean, I know you love everything, but what do you enjoy performing? Well, forget it. What did you obviously you enjoy? Because I don't know. I don't want to say obviously you enjoy because only you would know. So what do you enjoy performing live, and what do you enjoy performing when you're recording?
You know, I just enjoy the performance end of all of it because I get to be with my audience and I get to be close to them. My preference really is to do like a real sultry ballad. I love singing songs that touch people. I really enjoy that. But, at the same time, when I sing If My Friends Could See Me Now, that brings up all these great memories of growing up in Brooklyn and, singing that to my friends.
Yeah.
So, I really love all of it. I do. And I miss it. These last few months have been hell.
You didn't want to do a Facebook Live? All the musicians are doing the Facebook Live. No. Not your thing.
I don't think it's the same thing, Joanne, doing a Facebook Live as performing in front of people. It just doesn't have the same. It's not the same thing.
No, of course not.
I want to be with my people.
Yeah, but your fans get to see you, although you can't see them, but, you know. But I was thinking... Go ahead.
I do talk to them every day. I talk to my fans every day. I write notes to them.
Yeah, say, where's my coffee? You always ask him,
where's my coffee?
Pardon me. John, it's so funny. Every post is without my coffee. That, you know, all memes about coffee. I'm like, oh, I got to ask her about her coffee.
Well, but, you know, when you get up in the morning, if you start your day with music or you start your day with laughter, it's a great way to start out, I think. And I try to give people something to be happy or smile about.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's the only way to wake up. As long as we wake up.
Sure.
I guess if you wake up, it's a happy thing. So
that's you got it.
I know.
If you get that far, you're on your way.
Yeah. Now, how'd you enjoy? I so stupid questions. I'm so sorry because I know you're going to say the answer to. Tell me what it was like working with Luther and Whitney and Sister Sledge. I mean, I'm sure each are amazing in their own right.
Yeah, Luther was, I mean, he was phenomenal to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Just so easy. And the same with Isaac Hayes. I have to say Isaac was just phenomenal. I mean, working with him was a joy.
You heard what I said?
No.
Shut your mouth.
What?
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, I'm doing the Shaft. I'm doing Shaft.
Yeah,
they all seem like sweethearts. I mean, I don't know them personally. I mean, unfortunately, I'll never get to know Luther or any, you know. But the girls are still doing it, Sister Sledge. I mean, they're still doing it. What'd you do with Isaac?
Isaac actually produced one of my albums.
No kidding.
He produced it. Yeah, he produced the entire album. He wrote all the songs for me.
Wow.
And one of the albums, it was called I'm Yours. And I don't know if you know the song Shoot Your Best Shot. He wrote that for me, which was also a hit.
I have to check that one out, too.
Girl, you better get busy, okay?
I know. I will listen, I promise. Don't you worry.
All right.
Don't you worry.
But, yeah, Isaac wrote quite a few wonderful tunes for me, and I still perform some of those things, especially in Europe. You know, they're very big into R&B over there, and so even more than disco. So when I go to Europe, I do a lot of R&B songs, and I do quite a few of Isaac's tunes because they know them over there.
Did you ever work with Valerie in Ashford? I know Jimmy did some work on some of your music. Did you ever work with Valerie and Ashford Simpson as well?
I didn't work with them. I did perform at their club.
Oh, wow.
You know, I did know them. I did bring my band into New York, and we did several shows there for a couple of nights. So, you know, that was awesome. And, you know, and that was the first time I got to meet them. But, you know, there's so many great people in this business. And, you know, thank God for music.
Oh, God, that's right.
I don't know where we would be without
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so wonderful people they were. And, you know, Valerie's still out there. She's still doing it. God bless her.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all we can do. We have to keep going forward, you know. And we've lost a lot of wonderful artists, sadly.
Yeah, it seems like every time you turn the news on, someone is leaving us. It's really horrible. I couldn't believe. Oh God, who just recently passed? I was surprised. I was very shocked. Oh God, I can't think of his name. I'm sorry.
Was it music? Are you talking about?
Music. Music. Music has like
Broadway actor.
No, I didn't know
Nick
him.
Cordero.
That was a shame. That's a horrible shame.
Oh my God, that was
poor guy.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, but it just seemed like that we were going through like a month or two of losing someone like every other week. And
yeah,
was it Charlie Daniels?
Charlie Daniels just passed. No, it was someone in R&B.
I didn't know he passed.
Yeah, the devil went down to Georgia. It was time, I guess. Yeah, was it yesterday or the day before? Yeah.
I think it was yesterday. It was like in his 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so many great acts.
Oh, I hadn't heard. Yeah.
Yeah, so many great acts. Yeah, it's amazing to me. And Sweet Charity, what did you do in Sweet Charity? Did you sing?
I was a dancer.
Uh-huh.
And I got to spend a lot of time on set with Shirley MacLaine, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's the funny part about doing that particular song, If My Friends Could See Me Now, because that is from the original Broadway production.
Right.
And then the movie came out, and I was, you know, I worked on the movie for a couple of weeks. So when they approached me about doing the song, I thought, what are you, crazy? I can't do that. You know, I would never do that. But I'm glad I was wrong, and I admitted it. So,
well, what the one that you thought they were probably going to do was the Broadway version. You had no idea they were going to kick it up, you know.
You know, I couldn't, in my mind, I just couldn't hear it the way they wanted to do it, and the way that it eventually came out, I couldn't hear it until I heard that track. And then once I heard that, I was, you know, I was astonished, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is incredible. So, and it was just so fiery, and the soundtrack, the violins, everything about it just was amazing to me.
And you did an amazing job on it. I can't imagine anybody else doing it. Your voice is just so fantastic on it, and it just worked. You know,
thank
it just
so
worked.
Much.
And it is a song that will always, always be embedded in my mind. When I was very, very young, and when it was out, and I was like, well, I wasn't very young. I was, what, in the 80s? It's from the 70s, right? Yeah, in the 70s.
80, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like at the time, I mean, I had dreams, and I was like, God, that's my song, If My Friends Could See Me Now, you know?
You know, I think that's part of the reason it was so successful, because it was like number one in the world for 12 consecutive weeks or something. It was a huge song. And I think part of the reason is because everybody can relate to those lyrics. It's like, boy, if they could, you know, that crew I grew up with, if those kids that I used to hang out on the corner with, if they could see what I'm doing now, boy, you know, everybody's got somebody in their life like that.
Right.
So when that music comes on and people start to hear the lyrics, they just go nuts. They're like, oh my God, I love this song.
Oh God. I know. It's great. And what did you think when it took a persona on with the gay community? I mean, was that a surprise to you? I mean,
it was a surprise to me. And I'll tell you, you know, the funny thing that happened. Okay. So the song comes out, and, you know, naturally you're doing promotion for the record.
Right.
And the record company has this whole thing set up, and the limo comes and picks me up. I'm in New York, and they're taking me from club to club so that I can see the reaction when the song comes on and see how people react to it. So they pull up in front of this one club, and they have this young lady with me from the record company, and she says, okay, I have to tell you something. This is not like the other clubs that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, it's kind of small. You know, I'm still in the car. I'm just looking from, you know. She says, no, it's not that it's small. It's different. And I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, this is a woman's bar. And, you know, me, dummy, I'm like, so what? Women own bars? Big deal, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so I still didn't get it. And then finally she said, no, this is a woman's gay bar. So in my mind, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm so scared. You know, like, what the hell's going to happen to me? I don't know.
How old were you roughly around the time?
Oh, my gosh. I guess I was maybe 29.
Oh, okay. So it's like your first experience with gay and all that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
my first experience with gay women. Now,
right.
I had worked in men's clubs, you know, nightclubs, just singing, being, and that was fabulous. I have 1,500 fairy godmothers here in Chicago.
Mm.
But never in my whole life had I been in a woman's bar. So anyway, we walk in, and I'm petrified, and I'm holding her hand, and the music's playing, people are dancing, they're having a great time, everybody turns around, and they're looking at us, and I'm like, oh, my God, these women are gorgeous. They're absolutely beautiful. And they take me into the DJ booth, and they put on my song, and these people went nuts, and they announced that I'm in the DJ booth, and they all just turn around and start cheering and clapping. And it was the warmest, most wonderful feeling.
Nice.
And so after that, whenever I was in New York, my husband and I would literally go there. We became friends with the owner.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, we're still friends.
Cool. Those are the days where you could go into I don't want to use the word discotheque, but into a club and ask someone to spin a record for you and watch the reaction and then see it take off in about a week. Those were some great times, at clubbing days. Oh my God.
It was amazing. That's exactly what happened also at Studio 54. I walked in there and went up to the booth, and they put the song on. I mean, the whole place, it was insane. I had never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Studio 54.
Yeah. That was quite a place.
Crazy times.
Yeah.
I actually got in once, and it was funny. I turned 18, and at the time, 18 was the drinking age. And my sister and my brother-in-law took me, and we stood in line for, I don't know, it wasn't very, very long. And it was, I don't know why they wanted to take me there, but it was cool, I guess. And we stood in line, and these girls behind us were like all giddy, like, oh my God, I can't believe I got to go in. I'm going to get in. And you know, they got the velvet rope, and they're picking and choosing
right.
who they want. For some reason, they picked me. And I said, we're all together. So myself, my sister, my brother-in-law, and these 10 other people, I had no idea who they were. I said, we're all together. He said, okay, no problem. So we walked in. I walked in. I looked in there, and I said, oh, I don't know about this. I mean, it was people wall to wall. I just wasn't digging it. So we walked in and walked out. Didn't even have a drink. Didn't even have a drink.
Get out. You're kidding.
Nope. Didn't even have a drink. I wasn't up for it.
The joy of Studio 54 literally was walking around and just people watching.
Right.
Or just finding a good spot to sit and just watch what goes on. It was the most amazing place on the planet.
Well,
I wasn't getting a seat.
I'm no Linda Clifford. I wasn't getting a seat. I was standing the whole time. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
I'm not doing that. Yeah.
No.
it was pretty cool.
Well, give us a crazy story at Studio 54 from you. Or do you have any?
Oh, dear gosh. I have to pick the right one. Let's see.
Yeah. We're uncensored here.
Well, you know, there were a lot of sexy things going on there all the time.
Right.
And, you know, I was pretty naive, I guess, when I started doing a lot of this stuff and going to all these clubs. That was not my scene, just going, you know, I was not a big club person.
Mm.
And there was an area that was downstairs. There were, the washrooms were down there, but they were rooms for everything. They weren't just washrooms. I mean, you could walk in and see almost anything at any time.
I bet.
Which I did a couple of times. Okay, sorry. sorry, I'll just back up.
But I used to
work there quite a bit. I got used to it. I used to work there quite a bit with Phyllis Hyman.
Mm.
Phyllis and I worked, the two of us, for some reason, they would book the two of us at the same time. And she and I worked a lot of the club together. So I guess we were a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
yeah, so, and, you know, the stage or the area where you performed was, what, 30 feet above the dance floor.
Right.
And this thing used to move, you know, it would go out over the crowd. It was just, I can't
phenomenal.
Even explain it to you.
Phenomenal, yeah. What an experience.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, I am definitely going to go to YouTube after the show and listen to Show Some Love with Linda Clifford, Martha Wash, and Evelyn Champagne King. And it sounds like it's apropos for what's going on right now. And I definitely want to check it out. And I'm definitely going to check out Bridge Over Troubled Water because I got to hear that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good.
So now, is Show Some Love available on iTunes or anything like that right now, Linda?
It's definitely, yes. It is available on iTunes. Also, the latest song that we did, which is Don't Stop Me Now, is also available on iTunes. And, you know, once things clear up and we kind of get back to a normal situation, we'll be back out there touring. We were in the middle of touring when this all got shut down. We had just finished Vegas.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see everybody once again out on the road and we'll get to perform for you live. I would love that.
I'd love that, too. My God. Where can people get in touch with you, Linda? Your website, Facebook, where can people get you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.thelindaclifford.com, thelindaclifford.com, and certainly Facebook. I'm on there.
Mm-hmm. With your coffee.
With my coffee. You got it. They can get a hold of me there, and they can wake up in the morning, and we can have coffee together.
Nice. Well, Linda, we wish you all the best and good luck with the new CD and working with the girls and your own project. And everybody get out there and give a listen to Show Some Love. And thank you. I can't thank you enough for joining us. What a pleasure and a treat. Thank you. This is a thrill
thank
of a lifetime.
Thank you so much, Joanne. It was my
thank
pleasure.
You, Linda.
Thank you, John.
You
so much.
Take care. Go get some coffee.
I'm gonna.
Thank you, Linda. Take care, honey. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I know you don't know the song, John, because you're not a disco guy, but when I would listen to it when I was younger, it was like, you know, I always had a dream of being, you know, something in my life, and I said, God, that's the song I would sing if I ever made my, you know, made it, you know. Well, if my friends would see me now, you know. And,
well,
and
you,
funny,
you know, the funny thing is with the disco at the time, I didn't like disco because we were in a rock band and the discos were invading the clubs and we were kind of getting, you know, kicked out because we didn't play disco. So I didn't like it then. But I'm listening to a lot of it now because it's actually so much better than what's out there today, you know.
The name
she mentioned, you know, it brings up all the memories. Like, you know, you say that, like Evelyn Champagne King. I mean, you know, it's just like poetry names, you know. You hear that and it just brings back memories and you know, it's just amazing. And you know, at the time, like I said, I didn't like it because it took away from my rock band. But it was actually quite, you know, good music and a lot of great musicians playing on all those albums and doing live music.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of synth, but it was actually playing, too. And the 80s stuff was great. I mean, that's when I was clubbing in the 80s. And, I mean, I love rock, too. I mean, I love everything. So, I mean, I could listen to anything and sit back and enjoy it. I have my favorites of all different genres, you know. But
I think what was great with the 80s was, you know, MTV, because at that time, you know, you were listening to the music, but you never seen the people performing the songs. And once MTV came along, it was like, wow, there's that band. That's what they look like, you know. And for, you know, guitar players, it was great because we were able to watch them play and we can see what chords they were playing. Watching their hands, it was a lot easier than trying to figure out the song, you know, by listening to it.
And also now, back then, you know, when you were in a band, I mean, for me as a singer trying to learn the lyrics at the time, I literally had to put in either a cassette or an album and play it line for line to get the words. Now
oh, yeah,
you just go to lyrics.com and there you go, you know.
Well, the people
like
don't know how easy they have it today, and it was like if we just only had that back then, we would have been such better musicians. And, you know, I think everyone just got lazy and they don't even want to, you know, learn an instrument anymore. It's just so easy just to do everything on the computer and, you know, a garage band or whatever, and it's all crap.
Right.
I was listening to some old reel-to-reel tapes I had when I was in high school, and you know it's great music. It was you know, everyone you know wanted to play the best they could, and they practiced and they learned. You know, now you know it's very rare that you find people who you know want to sit for hours, you know, just learning how to play and just practicing by themselves. Maybe now with the COVID virus going around, maybe it'll give people a chance to just sit back and pick up the instrument, you know, the sax, the bass, the guitar, the piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, that's the same thing with all these music studios. They put them all out of business because everybody could do it home now, you know?
Oh, yeah,
it's
well,
crazy.
And it's not the same. It's not the same quality.
Nope, not at all. What? I got to tell you. I have not listened to the radio, and that's why when she mentioned Show Some Love is popular again, I have not listened to the radio since I got my car, 4 years ago with Sirius. I love Sirius because I would prefer to listen to good music than, I don't know, I call it good music anyway. The old stuff is the best stuff, you know.
Yeah, what I found, I had Sirius for years, and what I found was it was almost like it was a pre-recorded thing. You know, they played the same crap over and over and over again. Almost sometimes in the beginning, it was like in the same order, like it was just on a loop. So I got rid of it, and then I went to Pandora. Which was okay, but what I don't like about Pandora is if you just want to hear, like, say you want to hear AC/DC, you know, they'll put a station for AC/DC and they'll mix all other bands in there with them, you know. And right now I like Amazon, the Prime Music, because you can just say shuffle songs by the Beatles and they'll play old Beatles songs, you know. Any song that you can imagine. You can listen to, but my favorite band now is basically a polka band from Germany. It's called Hamadamish Band, and they did this song. If you go on YouTube, look up Guns N' Roses polka band.
Oh, I saw that's so good.
Yeah,
I saw that.
They are fantastic. They take these songs that they'll do. What's this song? Thunderstruck by AC/DC in a polka form. And you listen to them and you go, you know something? This is great. This stuff is really fantastic. And they did songs by Iron Maiden, and they'll do it in their own version with the polka beat to it. And you listen to it and you say, you know, the best one I like is they do Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
I haven't heard that one. Yeah.
If you look it up on YouTube, Poker Face by the Hamadamish Band, you know, I don't even know how to spell it, but it's just put the, you know, German polka band does Lady Gaga, and it's the most fantastic thing. You listen to it, and they have a guy singing Lady Gaga's part.
I've heard them do Thunderstruck, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, and they do that, and they do Highway to Hell, a killer version of Highway to Hell. And they actually had a live concert through Facebook. You were able to stream it, I guess it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you can also watch that live on Facebook, too. It was just, you know, it's interesting because they do it, you know, their own take on these popular songs that you would never even think they would do, or even want to try to play, and they do it, and they do a damn good job on it. So that's my favorite band right now.
Yeah, I apologize. I just found out I stupidly realized that I'm supposed to be calling Michael Learned, and I don't have her number handy. Would you please? Sorry, guys. Would you?
So, I guess she's not coming on then tonight?
No, I'm going to get her. I'm sorry, guys. Be with me. She's doing that. She's being so kind of good.
Yeah, that's what happens when you do live radio. This, you know.
Well, not only that, you know, when you're being pulled in five different directions too. It's, I can't keep track of everything. I apologize, folks. And she's waiting for me to call her actually, and I'm waiting. And I have to go into my email to do that, but let's see if I can get her. Let's see. Let me get her number. I'm sorry, guys. So how's everybody's week going? It's Wednesday. No, everybody having a good week or not?
We're having all the old-time TV people on now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're trying to get everybody on, and I think we're going to do a lot of music next month, so hopefully we'll be doing that, and we'll have a lot more music on, and here we go.
And when's our psychic friend coming back?
Oh, God, I look at the calendar. It's over there. No, this is a new psychic. He'll be on 26th. Let me call Michael and apologize to her. Bear with me, guys. I'll be right back with you, okay? John, I'll be right with you, okay? Do you mind chatting?
So while Joanne is calling our next guest, and hopefully we'll get our next guest on the air, how are you guys doing out there with this virus stuff? I hear New Jersey's governor just signed a law that you have to wear masks even outside now. So I don't know how that's going to go over. People are starting to get pretty pissed off at everything. And, I mean, you know, what's next? They're going to make us wear protective vinyl clear coverings so we don't get near anyone. We don't breathe on anybody. To be honest, I can't wear a mask when it's this hot and humid out. I just, you know, I can't breathe. It's horrible, and, you know, I just refuse to go anywhere. And a lot of my friends feel the same. You know, so we just stay inside and just, you know, order from Amazon or anybody who will deliver to the house. And where I live, I'm out in rural Pennsylvania, and, you know, there's no delivery of pizza, nothing. Yes, are you there?
So sorry. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Learned on the phone with us. Thank you, Michael, for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
So
and
far,
I apologize.
So good. How are you?
I feel like crap because I didn't realize I was supposed to call you. I'm so sorry. How are you?
Please. Don't be sorry. It's too nice a day to be sorry.
Good. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm a big fan. I loved the Waltons growing up, and I mean, that was a real big staple for you for a long time. How was your working on the show? Did you love it, or was it tedious? Was it a task? I mean, how was it for you?
Well, it was tough at the time because I had five kids. I had two kids living with us, as well as my own three sons.
Oh, my.
So I was spending a lot of time on the set, and I was tired all the time, but look, there's a squirrel outside on our picnic table eating, I don't know what, some kind of aloe plant. Oh, well, just happy. No, it was tough. It was tough in that respect because the hours were long, and, my kids were, growing. They were teenagers, and they were having their problems, and it was difficult. But I gained a second family from it, and I look back on it with enormous gratitude. I really do.
Oh, I know. What a show. I mean, it was on for, oh, my God, how many years?
9 years, yeah. It was on for 9 years.
And the kids, did they feel like your own? Or
they do.
I feel like they're
my own family. I mean, I wouldn't want to insult their parents because they all had pretty great parents, but I feel that close to them, and I have that much love for them. And we love being together. Whenever there's a reunion or something, we just have the best time.
Have they ever talked about doing a reboot of like you guys getting together, like maybe years later as adults and grown? Or
well, they have done a few since the since the series was on the air, they have done a few movies of the week, but you know, I'm probably ready to be, you know, carried around in an ambulance. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
No, don't say that.
Yeah,
no.
Don't say that.
But, well, but the kids, are they all have kids of their own that are, you know, teenagers.
Right.
And I've been blessed with two families. I'll tell you, John and I were married, 30 years ago, I guess, when we got married, and my kids were in the church, and so were the Waltons, and it was a Lutheran service, so not that we're Lutheran, we just happened to be married in a Lutheran church, and the priest asked, who gives this woman to this man, and all of my two families stood up and said, we do.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
It was really cool.
Yeah, so you're still close with all the kids.
Oh, yeah, very much so. We all are.
Nice.
And they are among themselves. They're all very close.
Right. Well, I have to ask you this question that you must have done a million interviews, and I hate to ask you this question because you've probably been asked it 50 million times. Where'd you get Michael? How were you named Michael? Beautiful girl, beautiful, you know, lovely woman. How do you have the name Michael? Tell us the story.
God, I hated it so much when I was a kid.
Oh, did you?
Well,
yeah, I love
it.
It's so different.
I used to and pretend that my name was Betty. I had a little initial ring that had belonged to my father, and his name was Bruce.
Hmm.
So I had his little initial ring, and I would hold my finger up and say, my name is Betty. But my parents, I think they'd had a few martinis, and they thought it'd be cool to name a girl Michael. I don't know.
Well,
when I asked my father, he said, well, had you been a boy, we would have named you Caleb. But as you were a girl, we named you Michael.
That's funny.
Go figure.
No wonder, exactly.
I'm neurotic.
Well, but you know what? With a name like that, it was destined for something. It was definitely destined for something.
Grown into it, and I like it now. So
yeah,
I mean,
it was so different. And when, you know, I remember when I was younger, when I was a kid, watching the Waltons, and they said, Michael Learned, I'm like, which one is that? Which one
Well,
is
that's
that?
Why they put the miss in front of it when it
first
came out.
Right. Well, I was young. I was stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still stupid, but, you know.
I know.
You know? And how did you enjoy working on Nurse? That was a great show.
Actually, that was another one that was kind of tough because they'd never done a series in New York, and the producer was kind of finding his way, and the hours, again, were very long. Part of it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we won't go into that. But but it was – the scripts were wonderful because they had New York writers writing for – at first they had L.A. lawyers – I mean writers. And I said to the producer, I really don't think this woman who's living in Harlem would come home and soak in a hot tub. They had lines like that in the script, and I said, you know, really, we should have locks on the doors. This is New York City. She's living in Harlem. Let's get some New York writers rather than LA writers who really know New York. So they did.
Right.
And they got some wonderful, wonderful New York writers, and I thought the show was going to go. I was shocked that they canceled it.
Yeah, well, you grew up on a farm, so the Waltons mustn't have been too far of a stretch for you on the set-wise.
Well, our farm was just a gentleman's farm. It was I did milk goats. I had three goats that I milked every morning before school, so I always smelled like goat cheese.
Hmm.
And I fed all the animals. We had pigs and chickens and rabbits and goats and a couple of horses and a cow.
Hmm.
So it was not a big farm by any means.
It was
enough for us to live. You know, we had great milk and vegetables. My father had a great garden, and I didn't drink the goat milk. It's, you know, it's very rank. It's a very high-powered smell, that goat milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never had it, but fresh from a goat, I'm sure it does.
Very
pasteurized.
Pungent.
Now, I believe your grandfather worked. Was he? He worked for. Oh God, was he a diplomat? I believe. So you, did you do
well,
a lot
one
of
grandfather
traveling?
was in the diplomatics, my mother's father, and my other grandfather was an artist, a wonderful artist.
Mm.
And, yeah, so there's our creativity runs in the family.
Now, did you do a lot of traveling since you had a relative?
My father worked for the CIA, actually. It was back in the 50s. It was the OSS. So, yeah, we lived in Austria for 3.5 years.
Oh, wow.
When we lived in Europe, we traveled a great deal. I went to school in England, and we lived for a few months in Rome and France. And it was enchanting, really. It was wonderful.
Yeah. What a change being, you know, growing up on a farm and then going over there. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was pretty homesick for a while, but I missed my goat, Becky.
Right.
And, it was wonderful. Austria is so beautiful. It's the most beautiful country in the world.
Mm.
And we were young. We were just kids. I was 11. And we went to the little village school. We didn't speak the language, but we learned it very quickly because, you know, kids do.
Right,
adapt
right.
very quickly. And
right.
And then I went to boarding school, art school in England, a boarding school, and that was kind of miserable, but I got a career from it, and so I'm grateful for that too.
Right.
You know, you look back on your life, and you when you reach my age, and you sort of think of all the things you moaned and groaned about when you were young, and how sometimes the things you moaned the most about were the things that in the end were the most beneficial.
Hmm. Well, you know, life is a journey for sure, you know.
Sure but, is, and mine yeah. is a, mine's been a good journey, basically.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're also in soaps. What came first, the soaps or the Waltons?
I preferred, the soap was great because they're so, what's the word, I was going to, it's the wrong word, they're so honed, I guess. You just basically go in for an hour and do your thing and leave. There's no waiting around like there can be on an hour show in television. Where, you know, they'll call you in at 6 to do a scene, and then your next scene doesn't come up until 4 in the afternoon, and you're sitting in your trailer watching your life go by.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, daytime show was really wonderful. I just literally went in. Everybody was friendly. I did my scenes and went home. It was fun.
Nice. Now, I wanted to ask you, also, Driving Miss Daisy, you were in, you played the lead role on Broadway in that. In your opinion, and I don't know, what
Driving Miss Daisy, I was not on Broadway. I think it was Vanessa Redgrave who played it in New York.
But,
I wish, because I've played it in a number of theaters all over the country.
Oh, well, thank you, because I thought you did do it. I'm sorry.
I wish. From your mouth to God's ears. I'll probably be dead by the time it rolls around, time to do it again. But, oh, God, it's a wonderful part and a really good play and very timely right now, actually.
Yes. So I want
it's
to
a love story. It's a true love story,
yeah.
You know. And,
what was the comparison to doing it on stage versus a movie for you? Did you think the movie was
doing
better?
It on stage, there's nothing like being on stage. It's a very funny play because the audience laughs at her.
Right.
Her ignorance, really, and she doesn't even know she's bigoted or biased. She has no idea.
Right.
And Hope just kind of opens her eyes, really. And it's a love story.
Yeah, it was a good movie. I didn't see it on stage, but it was an excellent movie. I loved it.
Yeah, I don't remember the movie all that well, although I did see it years ago when it first came out, and I loved it at the time. But I don't know if there was the same kind of humor that you can get with an audience that's just, they can't wait to see her turn around. They can't wait to see her open her eyes and smart enough, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So now you're this young girl, you're a farm girl, and you wind up traveling the world. How did you get into acting?
Well, I wanted to be a dancer, and when you say farm girl, I mean there are farms and there are farms. I mean,
yeah.
In Wisconsin, they call what my father had they call it a hobby, H-O-B-B-Y, hobby farm.
Yeah.
And so my parents were very sophisticated, and they loved the arts, and there was always music, and concerts on the classical music on the radio or in the record player, and because back then it was a record player, and dancing in the dew, and people coming out from New York for the weekend from Esquire magazine and places like that. And my parents my mother wanted to go back and live in Europe because she grew up in Rome, and she loved. And my father got a job with the CIA, which was then the OSS, and moved us all to Austria. And, you know, it was fine being in the little village school. It was interesting and wonderful. But after a while, I had a little bit of a hormonal breakdown, I guess, when I was 13. And the doctor said, you got to send her to a place where she's with artistic people because she's very creative. And so they sent me to boarding school in England, and that was a wonderful school of art. You know, we took dance classes in the morning and drama classes and also academic classes.
Nice, nice. So how old were you when you got your first serious role?
My first serious role was off-Broadway when I was 17 and pregnant.
Oh, wow. Oh, my. I'm pregnant. Yeah.
and it was off-Broadway, and it was called A God Slept Here. It was an Amphitryon legend, and my ex-husband and I were both in it, and it was really – I saw a picture. I'm going through photographs, sorting them out for my kids. I saw a picture of us in our little outfits, our little Greek outfits, and they were hilarious. One of them looks like – I look like I'm in a sheet because I'm so pregnant. And I got a review that said, Miss Learned is the most outrageously voluptuous young lady ever to grace a downtown stage, which was such a sweet thing for this guy to say when basically I was just bursting with pregnancy.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So are any of your kids in the industry or no, they chose not to go that way?
My son, Lucas, is in advertising, and the other two chose not to go that way. My oldest son is a wonderful artist. He's just kind of started... and this stuff is just bursting out of him. It's very exciting. Mm. And I have my second son is a drummer who now drives a school bus to pay for him to, you know, get benefits for his family and so on. Mm. So, they're all creative in their own way, but none of them have become actors.
Yeah, I was going to say it's in the blood. So you know, once someone's got it, everybody's get one. Somebody at least gets it, at least one of you know, in the family. It just, for some reason, it just works that way. I don't know. It's very strange. But
it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. It is. And definitely good for the mind, heart, and soul. And so now, what are we doing these days? Are you working now, or are you retired?
Oh yeah, I was supposed to be doing on Golden Pond with Hal Linden as we speak, but because of the COVID, they've put it over until next June.
At the moment,
I'm unemployed, like every actor, waiting for the phone to ring.
Where was it going to be?
It will be in Petrolia, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, nice. Wow.
It's a really nice theater. I've been there before. I did Driving Miss Daisy there, and I did another show. I can't think of the name of it, actually. But this will be fun with Hal. We've worked together before. We did Sisters Rosenzweig on Broadway, so this will be a treat to work with him again.
Yeah, I love him. He's a great actor, too. Yeah.
He's a good actor and very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he was. I loved Barney Miller. It was great.
Yeah,
it was a great show. When TV was
disappointed that it didn't work out this year, but it's nice to look forward that it's going to come up next spring.
Yeah, maybe this is a way of God telling us we all needed a break or something. I don't know.
You know, when you're acting, you always wonder, am I ever going to work again?
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. So it's reassuring that but I got to wait a year for it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, everybody's going to be damn happy to see everything come open when everything does open up. Or the people are going to be running everywhere.
This is so sad. This is such a – I'm looking out my window here, and, you know, it's so beautiful. The sun is shining. The flowers are blooming, and then there are people dying of this damn virus,
It's crazy. I know. Well, I hope you're staying safe.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Washing hands and using masks and all of that. But
Are you in L.A., California?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles. You know, I was saying to a friend of mine, I said, it's like this invisible enemy is out there. You can't see it, but it's waiting to get you.
Right. Well, it's funny. I was just thinking today, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you see them wearing the mask, half of them aren't even wearing them correctly. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Do we really even have to cover our nose? Because if I'm talking to someone with a mask and it's the droplets that is what we have to worry about, as long as my mouth and your mouth is covered, I guess we're good, right? No,
I agree with you. So many people don't bother covering their nose, I guess, because they're having trouble breathing or something. But you're going to wear the mask, wear it properly.
Exactly. I mean, it does drive me crazy after a while. But you know what? Doctors do it every day for hours upon hours, and it doesn't bother them one bit. So, and
I have several cloth masks, which I wash and everything. But I think I'm going to start getting, now that it's summer, I'm going to get the paper ones because it's so hot to wear a cloth mask when
it's 90 degrees. Yeah, I noticed I've been having a problem with the one I have, too. Someone for me, and it was good during March and April and even part of May, but like this last week or so over here on the East Coast, it's been brutally hot and humid.
Yeah, I've been
I'm in the store and I want to just take it off. I mean, just, I literally just pull it away just to get a breath and I put it back
on. I know
how
you feel.
It's so hot. It's
you feel
so
like
hot.
You're suffocating.
Yeah, but you know what? We got to do what we got to do to survive, Well, Michael, is there anything you'd like to share with everybody where they could contact you? Or do you have a book out or anything that people could get their hands on?
No, I keep saying I'm working on my memoirs, but I keep not sitting down at the computer. You know, I've done some writing, but there's no book yet. And I keep thinking someday I'll get back to it, but it's really hard. Do you write? Are you a writer
as well? Yes, I do. I want to, too, and we've had the last 3-4 months to do it, and I just don't have the time to do it, believe it or not.
Well, I have that. I don't have that excuse. I do have the time, and I'm not doing it, and I should.
Yeah.
Once you sit down and start, it's great, but it's just getting to that sit-down-and-start place.
Yeah, well, my thing is I already wrote it. It's handwritten. I just need to type it, and I know as I'm typing it, it will change. So I can't say to somebody, type this for me, because
I know
as I'm writing it, it's going to change and probably get better, hopefully. But, I mean, I'd love to put it out. I mean, it's not about me. It's, you know, just a story. But I'd love to do it, and I just don't have the time to sit down and do it. But, well, I don't know, maybe someday. But you should.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that you say that, because there is a difference between how you speak when you write and write and how you speak when you type. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
I'm a slow typer. I don't type very fast, but the voice is different when I'm typing, and it might be a good idea to sit down with a yellow pad as well.
Yeah, no, I wrote it all out. I hand wrote it, and it's been sitting in my briefcase, and I just never, like, I think I wrote it 2 years ago, and I just never sat down to type it, because I know I can't tell somebody, oh, can you type this for me? Because I know it's going to change as I'm writing it and typing it, you know. So, but you should really, really get on that, Michael. I mean, you've had an amazing life. The stories, my goodness, I would love to read about them.
Well, thanks for your encouragement. Maybe I will. My husband keeps trying to get after me. And, I mean, not in any bad way, but he's encouraging me, or trying to. Sit down and write. The only way to get it written is to do it.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you don't want to write it, record it. Do a voice then and there.
You know, I tried recording it, and I got so self-conscious that it just was so stilted. It was ridiculous. I started laughing.
We've already touched on a little bit of a couple of chapters here talking about your experiences. So, I mean, there you go. So
I could even just write a book on going to a girls' boarding school in England.
Right.
A bunch of hormonal wannabe dancers and actresses, you know, with a bunch of crazy teachers, matrons, and all of that stuff. It would be a a comedy, I suppose. But
are you still close with anyone you've gone to boarding school with?
Not anybody. One girl who was my best friend, my best and only friend, actually.
Mm.
And at school, and we're not that close, but I've been to England, and I looked her up all these years later, and she hadn't changed a bit.
Oh wow, isn't that funny?
Yeah. I
wow.
have, but she didn't, and it was great to see her. Yeah.
Nice. Well, is there anyone that you would have liked to have worked with that you have not?
Robert Redford, maybe.
Oh well, there's still time.
Or Katharine Hepburn. I think she was an amazing actress.
Yeah, I loved her too. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh wow. Well,
how about you? Who would you like to work with or interview? I have a feeling you do more than just interview people.
Well, I love everybody, to be honest. We were just talking, John and I, about, you know, the different things that we've liked and influenced us in our lives and everything. And I love music. I love writing. I'm no actress, that's for sure. But I never thought I'd be doing this. Talking to people that I watched growing up on TV and were a major impact on my life. I mean, the Waltons was a major impact on all of us kids growing up. It was a great family show.
It was on my kids, too.
Yeah, it was a great
family. I would watch it with my son. My youngest, the two older boys were, you know, teenagers. They weren't that interested. They would watch it if they were home, you know, but they were busy having dates and doing teenage things, but Lucas and I would sit and watch it, and I'd be cooking dinner, and he'd say, "Mom, I love that music," and then we'd watch it together.
Well, I don't know about anybody else's family, but we would at least on several occasions say, "Night, John Boy," when we were going to bed. I mean, everybody did that as far as I know. Well, I did. I don't know about everybody, but we did it in my house.
It's nice, It's very nice.
Yeah, when we were going to bed, "Night, John Boy." We didn't even say in our real names. We used Walton names. So.
It's kind of immortal, isn't it? I mean, started something.
I think the show was just a part of everyone in America's life growing up.
Right.
You know,
nice to hear.
And everybody knew the Waltons.
But having been part of it, I really am. It was a great part of my life. It transformed my life in many, 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 many ways.
And us too, I believe. I do. I think a lot of us too. I think a lot of us too, because it was just so wholesome, family oriented, and you wanted to be a Walton, you know.
Didn't we all?
You know, I mean, you know, you guys didn't have much, but you know what? You had each other, and that's all that matters. And,
yeah.
Well, I got a question for Michael, Joanne. Hey,
no.
Michael, what do you think of the TV shows that are out today? Because I tell you, it every other word, every other thing is sex, this and that, and it's just not the same as it was. What are your feelings about it? How's it changed?
Well, I don't have a problem with sex or any of that, but, you know, what Earl Hamner did was he told his story. Every Thursday night, there was a story told. He was a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And that I don't see much of anymore.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right, and there is no story. It's just, you know, it's like a Seinfeld episode with all these new shows. It's about nothing.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I hate to be critical of it, because there is some good television, too. I watch stuff on cable, I think it's good, but it's just very different, and it's not storytelling, and that's a hard thing to pull off, and he did it.
And
he was a lovely man, too, a really nice person, the creator of the show. He actually was John Boy, but, he was writing about his own childhood. He idealized it quite a bit, but I said, "Didn't your mother ever do anything wrong? Didn't she ever punish the wrong child or yell at you or, you know, punish you or for something you didn't do?" And he said, "No, not really." I said, "Well, that's not very much fun to play." But yeah. She was a nice woman, had a great sense of humor. And then one day he came home and he said, I'm in therapy now. And yes, my mother did do a few things here and there that were
so did he did he truly have all those brothers and sisters?
I couldn't hear that for some reason. I'm sorry.
Did he truly have all those brothers and sisters in real life?
Not as many, but I've met a few of them, and they're all fabulous people. Yeah, and they're all very close, and they're very proud. They were very proud of their brother Earl, you know, coming to L.A. and becoming famous. You know,
yeah, they must have went on the set a few times, I'm sure.
Not all of them, but one or two here and there. Mm. Yeah, he has a sister that I've met several times because we do autograph signing, and she's charming. She loves to be part of it. And I've met a brother who was the influence for Jim Bob. And what he did was he took a couple of the kids and combined one brother or sister and made it two in the show.
Mm. Nice, nice. Yeah, it was a great show. And I'm just...
Well, thank you. I mean, yeah. I was just lucky to get the break. I didn't expect it. I didn't think I was right for it.
Mm.
And... it was a blessing in my life. I complained all the time, but now I look back on it and I realize how fortunate I was.
Yeah, absolutely. And how fortunate we were that you did it. And I thank you so much because it was
so
a great
much.
Show. Thank you. Well, I want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure and all the best to you and get on that book. Definitely.
Okay, I will. I promise. Thank you.
Yeah, I would love to read it. I really would. And you could come back and tell us all about it, and we'll let everybody know it's out. So,
well, I will. I'll. That's an incentive because I'll get to talk to you again. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Michael. Everybody, Michael Lerner, thank you so much for joining us. And on that note, I'm going to say to Michael, night, mama.
Okay, nice.
Bye, Michael. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Stay safe.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye. Oh, what a sweetheart, huh?
Oh, yeah. What a nice woman.
Oh, what a nice show. Very nice. So we want to thank both of our guests, Linda Clifford and Michael Lerner, for joining us tonight. And we're going to end real quick because I know it's getting late. Real quick, coming up on Sunday, Lori Jacobson, she is in, wait a minute, am I in the right month, July 12th? Oh, Lori Jacobson, yes. She wrote this book. Oh, God, it's really cool. And I don't want to give it away, but I'm going to. It's about our favorite child stars in regard to, it's called TV Dinner. Something about TV Dinner. Where is it? Do I have it here? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I have it somewhere. John, you know I'm a mess.
I'm going to have to get you an organizer to come to your office there and organize
Somebody's
your studio.
Somebody's got to come and do it. Somebody's got to do it. And joining us on that show is Kevin Post. He's the guitarist for Blake Shelton, and he also has his own music out, and we're going to play a song of his. And then the 15th, Joe Louis Walker, he's one of the greatest blues musicians out there. And Martin Lee, he's an author. And, coming up on the 19th, John, Barbara Streisand's sister, Rosalind Kind.
Excellent.
She is great. Oh, my God. And Ruta Lee is supposed to be joining us. Unfortunately, she just had a loss. I'm not sure if we may need to reschedule. We need to talk to her about that. Unfortunately, her husband passed, and may he rest in peace, and God bless, and sorry for your loss, Ruta. And also, we have Stan Goldman. He's an author, and Anson Williams from Happy Days is coming back. We had to reschedule him.
When is Blind Lemon Pledge due on the show?
Yeah, you got to get them. I don't know. And then the 26th is the psychic, Jared Hewitt. He's a psychic author, and we'll be talking to him about his new book. Stephen Taibbi, he's an actor, author, and we're going to talk to him about his new book, and also Julia Benjamin about her new book. And I think August we might have a lot of music, and hopefully Everybody's having a great summer. It's freaking hot. I know that much by me. How about you, Johnny boy?
Yeah, well, I don't go outside. I stay in the air conditioning. I'm like
an
air conditioning vampire, you know.
No, it's hot. Well, I can't go in the house because my dog won't go up the stairs, so I'm living in the garage right now, and it's hot. Anyway, thank you to our guests, and thank you to our sponsors, of course, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kentonville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines from South Africa, Cheese for the Times and other stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, and TakeABreakFromCancer.org for Pete's sake. And like I said, I mentioned earlier, we may have Joey Max Hot Dogs joining us. I have an email. I didn't read it yet. We're going to do that. And our calendar, I apologize, is not updated on our site. I'm hoping to get that information over to our team to do that for us. Unfortunately, it's my fault. I just am overwhelmed. And but we will get to it. I'm going to try and do that tonight. And Johnny Boy, thank you, of course, as always. I love you. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Well, I'm going to say goodnight, Joanne.
Yeah.
And what are you going to say? Keep with the Waltons theme.
I'm going to say night, Johnny Boy. Night, John
okay,
Boy.
Good. Sounds
night,
good.
Night, John Boy.
All right, good
night
everybody. And we'll
take
see
care.
You on
bye-bye.
Sunday.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.